This is the Championship Chat Podcast, your home of news, views and debate from England's second tier.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Championship Chat Podcast, sponsored by Cards Accepted. I'm Elliot Jackson and of course joined by George Smith. Hello George, how has your week been?
Not bad, mate. Not bad. I've just finished for 3 days as we record this. Finished about an hour ago after 5 days on the trot. So, got 3 days off. Trip down south this weekend. Going down to London on Saturday, which means I'll not be glued to the Championship action as closely as I normally would. But something tells me I'll be checking the scores probably every 20 seconds, keeping an eye on what's going on. But in terms of how's my week been, busy, but glad we're at the end of it now. How about you?
Yes, fine, thank you. Busy as ever in the world of Blackburn Rovers and the Championship relegation battle, which we will come on to very shortly. But first, George, let's talk about the top, because since we last spoke, Leicester City have picked up 6 points and are now on the brink of promotion to the Premier League. Quite a nervy affair at the weekend, beating West Brom 2-1 in the end, having gone 2-0 ahead. But West Brom missing an absolute glut of clear-cut opportunities. And to be honest, Leicester did very well to get out of that game with 3 points. It felt like a really important milestone in their season to get over the line. And they saved their best performance for months for Tuesday night against Southampton. A 5-0 win. And we both watched the game and we were messaging while we were watching it. And as much as you thought Southampton were relatively hopeless, I thought Leicester were immense. I thought they were fantastic. It's the best they played in months. I thought the game plan in terms of the timing of their pressing with Dewsbury Hall joining Vardy as sort of almost like a 4-4-2 out of possession with Ndidi alongside Winks, and then the way they sprung, it was just so much better from Leicester. Aggressive, quicker tempo on the ball, and Abdel Fattah was probably one of the best individual displays of the season, right up there with a hat-trick and 3 goals of all differing qualities in terms of the range of finishing he provided. One, a very clinical finish after being slipped in by Dewsbury Hall. The second, an absolute screamer from range after cutting inside on his stronger left foot. And then the final one tucked in at the back post to finish off a sweeping counter-attack. And I thought Leicester were absolutely fantastic. And that has put them right on the brink of the Premier League ahead of this weekend.
It certainly has, and like you said, it was the best that they played for a considerable amount of time, wasn't it? They were at it from minute one, and ahead of the game, I actually thought it could be quite a close contest, this, because obviously Southampton knew realistically they got to go there and win to realistically keep their top two hopes alive. I mean, as we recall this, mathematically they still can get in there, but it's going to take an absolute miracle for it to come to fruition. So for Leicester to put on a display like that and record such a scintillating victory and their joint biggest win of the season, their biggest home win of the season, it was one hell of a statement to send out with less than a fortnight of the season to go. And like you said there, it's put them on the brink now. And I think it's going to be very, very brave of anybody to say that they won't get out of the league automatically now. There was for a time, certainly after that defeat at Plymouth a couple of weeks ago now, where we all thought maybe they're going to slip up, but they got that win over West Brom last Saturday, as you said. Yeah, to dig in deep for that one, let's not forget the contributions of Hamza Choudhury with 3 expert goal line clearances. West Brom had other chances beyond that. But on Tuesday night, Leicester brought their A game, which we'd not seen for a while. Like you quite rightly said, they were brilliant in every aspect of the play. And like you said, I messaged you saying that I thought Southampton were really poor, which they were. But Leicester at the same time were very, very good. You've got to admit that. So I think when you look at Leicester now, we're in a position this coming weekend, the penultimate weekend of the season, where Leicester go last this weekend. They don't play till Monday night, Preston North End away. But as we record this on Thursday evening, currently at nearly 7:10 in the evening, Leicester could be promoted within the next sort of 26, 27 hours if Leeds United are beaten at Queen's Park Rangers on Friday night. Then obviously Ipswich, who have had a couple of weeks off with Coventry being in FA Cup action last weekend, they go again at 8 o'clock on Saturday night. So there's a lot of moving parts in it this weekend, with all three of them playing at different points and different days. But for Leicester, I mean, whether they have to wait until Monday, whether they have to possibly wait until next Saturday, who knows, or whatever, they're going to get the job done. There's no doubt about it now. I can't see them not picking up 3 points from either of the last two games. No disrespect to the opposition they're facing, Preston and Blackburn Rovers, but Leicester are going to be favourites going into both of those two matches. yes, the Championship can spring a surprise. We've seen it countless times in the last few weeks. But I think based on the performance they produced on Tuesday night, both individually, certainly like Dewsbury Hall, Abdul Fattah, of course, with his hat-trick, but collectively, Leicester look, they look good, really, really good. And I think you could sense by the celebrations at full-time, those players knew that they were very, very nearly there. For me, they've got one foot in the Premier League now.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, you touched on it there, but a few permutations. If Leeds lose on Friday away at Queen's Park Rangers, then Leicester are up. Otherwise, it'll be down to Monday for Leicester to go and win themselves and secure the promotion themselves, because Ipswich, of course, have got this game in hand next Tuesday night away at Coventry. So that will ultimately play a part in this as well. A bad week for Southampton, who, when we last recorded, we were talking about the possibility of them getting into this automatic race, really applying the pressure. But that's definitely come crashing down. Two defeats in a week, a really damaging one in particular at Cardiff, where they had so many chances in that first half, went 1-0 up, and they just couldn't put the chances to bed. They honestly could have been 3 or 4-0 up. The XG was through the roof. They had high quality chances. And as we saw during this period, where I feel like it's been probably for the bulk of the season, they just have these momentary lapses or these spells in games for 10, 15 minutes where they just, the concentration goes at the back, and they just, the way they threw that game away in particular on Saturday away at a Cardiff side who got nothing to play for, who had made a few changes, had a few academy graduates in the team and in the matchday squad, to surrender a winning position when you've had such dominance, knowing you need to win out in order to really put the pressure on. Must be really disappointing. They then got beat, obviously, thumped 5-0 by Leicester, and some very harsh or some very truthful words from Russell Martin, certainly not mincing it, about the character some of his team showed, claiming that only Shea Adams did and he's out of contract. So I think we couldn't expect a few changes from the Southampton team from what we've seen in recent weeks. They're missing Stuart Armstrong, who's got a long-term injury as well, who's been a very key player for them this season. So a really damaging week for Southampton, and their hopes of automatic promotion are over, but they need to try and galvanise themselves with these last couple of games, build some momentum, because they've got a playoff campaign to prepare for.
They certainly have, and like you said, since we last spoke, we were waxing lyrical about Southampton this time last week. They'd won 3 in a week, beating Coventry, Watford and then Preston North End, and I watched the Preston game a week last Tuesday night, and to Southampton's credit, though, of course, the calibre of the opposition in Preston wasn't as good as what Leicester were obviously going to produce. It was chalk and cheese from Southampton. They were absolutely fabulous in that first half against Preston. Then obviously Leicester, as I've said there, completely different kettle of fish, but they were so poor, so passive, I thought. And they just didn't sort of go into that game, in my opinion, with the outset of trying to win it, if you get my drift. They seemed quite content to let Leicester almost boss proceedings and think, we might come unstuck here, let's just try and play it safe. But like you said, the Cardiff result last weekend, that was the damaging one. They had so many chances in the first half. I was watching Gillette Soccer Saturday last Saturday afternoon, and Michael Dawson was covering the game for Sky, and he said by half time this should easily be 3 or 4-0. And then obviously Cardiff, they get that really, really late goal to win it, which kind of just summarises the Championship this season, doesn't it? There's been so many instances of that. But Southampton now, like you've said, they've got a playoff campaign to prepare for. The promotion hopes aren't over. They can't dwell on that defeat the other night at Leicester. They're still in with a chance of going up via the playoffs. It is an opportunity. And Russell Martin now needs to dust his players down, and they can't really dwell on it. So I think this weekend they've got Stoke City at home. Will he rotate his team heavily? Obviously, injuries will dictate what he can and can't do. But I think realistically, Southampton, they need to try and get this Leicester defeat out of their system as quickly as possible. Get a good win on the board, regain a little bit of confidence, a bit of belief. Obviously, Leeds away on the final day now. There's not really going to be anything riding on that for Southampton except preparation. For Leeds, it could be a case of get a point to get over the line, win to get over the line, or who knows, with Ipswich having 3 games left, it's really difficult to sort of put your finger on how that could look. But for Southampton, ultimately, finish the season as strongly as they can, prepare for the playoffs, and you get the second bite of the cherry there. Certainly wouldn't dwell on that Leicester defeat. They were poor. They need to raise the game, but it's certainly not season over just yet.
No, I think we will definitely see some changes based on those Russell Martin comments. Jack Stevens has been quite a divisive figure for a lot of Southampton fans in the last couple of weeks, because Martin used him at left back, drifting into midfield. I saw he gave quite an impassionate defence of him, actually, after the Blackburn game where they drew 0-0. saying how well he'd played, but he's not really played him there since. So having shown a bit of faith in terms of his comments in press conferences, he then seemed to go away from that idea a little bit. And then comments again after the Southampton defeat, saying he got the team wrong, and if Stevens had played, they certainly wouldn't have lost 5-0. So it'll be interesting to see what sort of team goes out in these next couple of games. Obviously, breathing down the necks of Leicester City are Leeds United. They are still in second after a very championship-y 4-3 dramatic Monday night win away at Middlesbrough. This game never felt put to bed until the final whistle, despite Leeds having a 2-goal margin on more than one occasion. Went behind early on as well through after a Latte Laugh goal, but got themselves back in the game. Goals from Crescencio, Somerville, Bamford, Willie Nonto, enough eventually to see them over the line after a very, very tense finish when Middlesbrough got one back for 4-3 with stoppage time approaching. It means that Leeds are in second. They're on 90 points. They do lead Ipswich, but of course, the Tractor Boys have got that game in hand against Coventry in midweek, having not played last weekend. They needed that win, Leeds, because obviously it's been a tricky spell for them, having lost to Blackburn and other results in recent weeks where they've not got the wins on the board. The attack has certainly come under some scrutiny in terms of the way it's been functioning. Interesting that Bamford was recalled for this one to lead the line. And I think they probably do have a little bit more fluidity when he is the number nine, even though he is a bit of a lightning rod for criticism and for comment. Not always the most convincing, but I think it brings probably the best out of Routaire, having him there, and Nonto and Somerville stepping up as well. Big, big win this for Leeds, wasn't it?
It certainly was. And I'll be honest, I was gutted that I kind of missed the first half of this game because I'd been working in Manchester on Monday and I got home about 25 to 9, about 10 minutes before half time, whacked the telly on, and I thought, bloody hell, I've missed a good one here, haven't I? But watched the second half, and that was a really entertaining second half, to be fair. Crescencio, Somerville, peach of a goal, I must say, for his second, and Leeds his fourth. But I always thought, to be honest, Middlesbrough, with the run that they've been on, that was a potential banana skin for Leeds again on Monday night, because Borough had been playing really, really well, got a good run of results on the board. They'd got a point at Ipswich not long ago. And it was always going to be tough for Daniel Farke's men, but they came through it by hook or by crook. They got over the line. I thought for a few nervy minutes, Middlesbrough were going to equalise and make it 4-4. But Leeds did get over the line. And like you said, after the way that they'd obviously come unstuck against Blackburn, they'd been beaten at Coventry, drawn 0-0 with Sunderland, sandwiched between those two games, to go and score four goals, that's kind of sending out a statement. Yes, they conceded three, but to go and score four away from home at Borough is quite a statement to send out. So all of a sudden now, we're in a situation where I think we would be leaning towards thinking Leicester are going to win the title now. I think it's very likely that Leicester will win the crown. So this battle for second spot between Leeds and Ipswich is going to be really interesting. And I think the biggest question is here now, who is under the greater sense of pressure? Because if Leeds go to QPR and win on Friday night, they open up a 4-point gap on Ipswich. Ipswich have the chance to claw it back to 1 point again if they win at Hull on Saturday night. Then Ipswich go again in midweek. And if Ipswich get a positive result there, we're heading in potentially for a final day shootout. Whoever comes out on top, Ipswich know that if they win all three, they get there. Leeds know that they can only control what they can. I wouldn't bet against Leeds getting all 6 points in their last two games. Having said that, though, and obviously different seasons, different things, but QPR, having looked at the stats earlier today, have been something of a bogey side for Leeds away from home in recent years. Leeds have actually lost five of their last six at Loftus Road. So it seems to be a bit of a place where they come unstuck. But having said that, it is a new season, new team. But there's just something in the history there that suggests Leeds do struggle at Loftus Road. But I don't know about you, but who would you say heading into these, well, the final week of the season, we've got, what, 9 days left as we record this until the finish line. Who is under the greater sense of pressure out of these two? Because it could be in a way that Leeds going first, the pressure's on them. And then it could be a sense Ipswich have got to respond, the pressure's on them. I think both of them are under enormous pressure. It's who can handle it the most. But I think Leeds could get all 6 points. Ipswich, Hull and Coventry away back to back, that they're two tough tests. And I know Hull's home form hasn't been great, but it's not the easiest place to go. Hull, of course, we're going to touch on the playoff race, are still in with a chance of that themselves. Coventry, their season's virtually over now. The mathematics, they say otherwise, but it's highly unlikely they get in the top six. I just wonder who is under the great amount of pressure out of Leeds and Ipswich going into these final sort of 9 days of the season.
I think the psychology of it all is very interesting. I think the fact that obviously Leeds, as you say, Ipswich are obviously in the driving seat. They've got the best position because if they win their games, they obviously get promoted. But the fact that Leeds can have a 4-point lead over Ipswich does add some pressure. Of course it does. And they're not only are they playing after Leeds, but they're playing 8 o'clock on Sky. It wouldn't shock me. I think Leeds will win out. I agree with you. I could see Leeds winning both games and getting up to, what would that put them on, 96 points.
96.
I could also see Ipswich very easily ending up on 96 points by taking a draw and two wins from the last three. And you could have a situation, definitely, in my opinion, where this could be settled by goal difference. And that would be in Leeds United's favour.
They're currently 11 better off, aren't they, at the moment?
Yeah, Leeds. Depending on what the score lines are in the next couple. So,
yeah,
pressure-wise, I think it's interesting, isn't it? I think we all know what Leeds have got a reputation for as well. So if Leeds are going into the final day ahead on goal difference, can you imagine what that atmosphere is going to be like at Elland Road in terms of both the weight of the shirt, but also in terms of the roar behind the team to see them align against Southampton?
And the big thing is here as well, of course, is if, say, and we're speaking hypothetically now, we don't know what's going to happen. There's bound to be a twist somewhere. Say if Leeds win on Friday night, and then Ipswich get a win themselves on Saturday night, we are absolutely guaranteed, regardless of what Ipswich do midweek, that this goes to the final day. That we are guaranteed of. Ipswich at home to Huddersfield, you'd be very, very surprised if Ipswich didn't beat Huddersfield. And who knows what Huddersfield might have on the line on the final day. We'll talk about the bottom shortly. But I think Ipswich, if they can come through these two away games with six points,
I'll tell you.
I think they can do it. I think they could do it.
I think if Ipswich beat Hull, they'll go up. I don't think Coventry away is going to be a game where they slip up, because you look at the state Coventry are in at the moment, and we'll talk about them in a bit more detail in particular later. The amount of effort emotionally and physically they've put in. They play Blackburn at the weekend. They've then got to play Tuesday again. It's going to be like, what, their third game in 10 days? Fourth game in 10 days. They've got loads of injuries. They've got nothing to play for. I don't see that. However, Hull, of course, are still in the pursuit of a top six finish. So for me, I think if they can, I would definitely say if Ipswich can win at Hull this weekend, I'd fancy them to get the top two and get ahead of them. But do you know what? It really wouldn't shock me if both teams go in on the final day with goal difference between them.
And this is the thing as well, isn't it? We're all talking about this final day scenario. But if QPR spring a surprise on Friday night and win, Ipswich could seal promotion as soon as Tuesday. Mm. This is the situation, isn't it? Leeds, really, they know that if they don't win on Friday night, they know that it could all be over for them by the time they next take to the field. So maybe the pressure is more on Leeds in that sense, but if Leeds then get a good result, it flips to Ipswich. You can view it in any way you like, but all I'm going to say is I think we're going to be set for a conclusion where we're going to get at least one nugget of drama somewhere. There's going to be one twist. We know it's always the case. Personally, I think if I'm a Leeds or an Ipswich fan, I'm hoping it doesn't go down to the final day. But as a neutral,
we're very much hoping it goes down to the final day.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be fun for us, but if you're a Leeds or an Ipswich fan, it's not going to be so much fun. But for realistic and for Ipswich, the dream scenario is that obviously Leeds fail to beat QPR. They get a couple of positive results in the next few days and they get the job done with a game to spare. That would be the dream scenario. So I think for Leeds, whatever they do Friday night, they're going to be hoping and praying for some favours in the next sort of four or five days.
Let's look at the bottom of the table now. The big result of the weekend came last, and that was Sheffield Wednesday winning at Blackburn Rovers at Ewood Park, meaning they are now out of the relegation zone for the first time since August 19th. It had been 246 days since Sheffield Wednesday.
Can you say that again? It sounded quite good. Can you say it again?
Sheffield Wednesday are out of the bottom three for the first time since August 19th. 246 days. as of Sunday. Of course, plenty more days.
Question is, can they stay out of it? That's
that is the question. And let's be fair, I thought they thoroughly deserved, obviously I was at the game, I thought they thoroughly deserved the victory based on the second half performance. The first half was quite a scrappy game. It was a brilliant start where both teams started at a frantic tempo. And then once Sammy Smodics equalised, having also witnessed a brilliant goal from Josh Windass, amazing technique, the game completely died. It was a terrible spectacle for 35 minutes. Lots of stoppages, really scrappy. And then, and I'd say Blackburn probably shaded the first half, to be honest. I would say they were the better side, had more succinct passages of play. But then second half, Blackburn just didn't come out. Sheffield Wednesday got their tails up, scored a really good goal on the counter-attack where Smodics gave the ball away. The one thing he's probably thought he'd put wrong all season. Gave the ball away. They broke on the counter-attack. Musab across for Marvin Johnson. And then 6 minutes later, an absolute disaster moment for Ainsley Pears. A goal that everyone will have seen who's listening to this podcast. Just no words to really describe that moment. And very strange in the press box watching that. And you just felt sorry for him because he's just cocked up beyond belief. Terrible moment. And that put Wednesday in the driving seat. 3-1 up away from home, backed by 7,500. And Blackburn never really threatened to get back in the game. They had one good chance through Smodics. But that aside, the atmosphere was all generated from the away end at that point. It just completely swung the momentum of what was quite a fragile state at half-time. You know, you're looking at both teams, you think Blackburn would be quite happy with that first half. The game felt there to win for both teams. Wednesday came out second half and deserved the win, and Blackburn didn't turn up. And that meant instead of Blackburn winning to secure safety, Wednesday are out the bottom three and completely changes the picture at the bottom of the table.
It certainly does change the picture, and it's obviously a massive, massive result for Wednesday. There's no doubt about that. For to not only get a 3-1 win on the board away from home at this stage of the season, but the psychological boost of climbing out of the bottom three, having been camped in there for so, so long, literally since the second game of the season. And they've done all the chasing, all of the hard work. And like I've said to various people, and I might have even said it on this podcast, nobody at this stage of the season wants to be embroiled in a relegation battle, in a battle to stay up. But Sheffield Wednesday will be happy to be in this position that they've actually got a chance of staying up from how far back they were. Let's not forget it took them 14 games to get that first win on the board. And it's taken them 7 months to climb out of the bottom three. 7 or 8 months, rather. So the point for Wednesday is now, obviously, they're 4 games unbeaten. They've only lost 3 of the last 12. They've probably got the best sort of form book over that period of the teams down there. And the challenge is now, can they stay out of it? As we've mentioned up at the top with Ipswich, the scenario is in their own hands. It's the same for Wednesday. They know 2 wins guarantees survival regardless of what anybody else does. But they couldn't have really asked for much of a tougher test this weekend in West Bromwich Albion. Though the Baggies' form has tailed off a little bit in recent weeks, it's still going to be a really tough test. West Brom have obviously got a lot of attacking talent. Wednesday's record against the better sides isn't been the best this season. They've taken a hell of a lot of points off the teams in and around them, which is what they've done, as proven with the win at Blackburn and win at QPR not long ago. So this is a big test for Wednesday, but Hillsborough's a complete sellout for the game. There's not a single ticket left in the house. The crowd's going to be up for it. The players are going to be confident after that 3-1 win at Blackburn, and then they go to Sunderland on the final day, which it's one of those games where you look at it and think, it's a good opportunity because Sunderland have got nothing to play for. Their form's been really, really patchy for the best part of 4 or 5 months. And Wednesday will probably fancy the chance of getting something there. But at the same time, Wednesday know if they lose to West Brom, they are guaranteed to drop back into the bottom three because of the small fact of Birmingham and Huddersfield playing each other, which is just absolutely monstrous this game this weekend. But for Danny Rill, for Wednesday, Danny Rill and Wednesday, they've got themselves into a position now where they've got their heads above water, but they've not quite reached the shore yet. They're nearly there. They've got a chance, but whether they can do it or not remains to be seen. But I just think the amount of confidence they're going to have gained from that win at Blackburn last week and the fact that they've done all this chasing and now they're in a position where they can sort of see the finish line, it's going to be one hell of an achievement if they get over the line. But they're not there yet, but a big win nonetheless. I did have to agree with you. I thought Blackburn in the first half last week were the better side. Wednesday just couldn't control the ball at all. Every time they got hold of it, they lost it straight away. But the second half, they were much, much improved. Musaba was a real live wire down the right-hand side. Obviously, Josh Windass put on the string. I thought Will Volks was excellent in midfield. But big win, but that's all it is at the minute. It's just one big win. It takes them a little bit closer, but the job's not done yet.
Yeah, absolutely. And you just referenced it there, skating ahead. The big game of the weekend is, of course, Huddersfield versus Birmingham. Set the scene, Huddersfield, of course, were thrashed in a very morale-damaging defeat against Swansea. Birmingham failed to beat Rotherham United as well. So both teams having pretty disastrous weekends for different reasons. Although Birmingham got a point, they would have seen away at Rotherham as a bit of a home, well, an away banker. And they didn't manage to do that. So it means going into this game, basically, if one of the two teams loses, they're done for. In fact, a Birmingham win would actually mathematically relegate Huddersfield Town. If Huddersfield win, Birmingham won't be mathematically down, but you would expect as good as, to be quite honest, given the what's left. In fact, if they'll be praying that West Brom do them a favour, obviously, against Sheffield Wednesday, a draw would probably knacker them both, to be honest, depending on results elsewhere. And it definitely feels like for Huddersfield, they've just simply got to win this game. A draw for Birmingham would be not ideal, especially only taking 2 points from these two away games, which they'll have earmarked for points. But for Huddersfield in particular, their championship status relies on a positive result this weekend. And a lot of the other teams around them will be praying that Birmingham don't win. They'll be hoping for a Huddersfield win or a draw because Huddersfield's goal difference is obviously really poor, as is Sheffield Wednesday's. And that is the other thing that comes into this. You've got Stoke, QPR, Blackburn and Birmingham all on minus 16 goal difference going into this weekend, whereas Wednesday and Huddersfield are quite a long way behind, to the point where they're not going to swing the goal difference around those two teams on the teams around them. Plymouth's is even better at minus 11. So I think a lot of the teams in and around the relegation zone will be cheering on Huddersfield or hoping for a draw, really. And this is going to be a defining weekend for both of these clubs. They've got it in their own hands. Huddersfield have simply got to win and hope they can then pull something out of the bag against Ipswich on final day. Birmingham hosts Norwich, which I don't think is a horrendous fixture if they can get a win at the John Smith Stadium. But it's all going to come down to this, really.
It is. It's enormous, this game. And the fans, certainly of Sheffield Wednesday, are probably wishing that this wasn't happening, because obviously one of them, at the very least, is guaranteed to collect something. Both of them could get a point. But for the exact permutations of this weekend regarding these two, Huddersfield will be relegated if they fail to beat Birmingham or Sheffield Wednesday collect a point against West Brom. Birmingham could be relegated themselves if they lose, and Plymouth and Wednesday win and Blackburn draw. Have you got all that? I know it's quite a hell of a lot to take in. It's that point in the year where you've got to get the abacus out and do some sums. But that's how the permutations stack up for these two. But ultimately, as you've just said there, both teams, they need to win this game. Obviously, only one of them can. A draw is probably the worst case scenario for both of them, certainly in Huddersfield's case. Birmingham, they know that if they get a point and Sheffield Wednesday lose, Birmingham will go back above the dotted line. So Birmingham, realistically, they've got to do their job and hope for a favour, really, from one of their biggest rivals. So realistically, I personally, as I said to you last Saturday evening when we sort of always have a little catch-up on the day's results and whatnot, I said to you that I personally thought after that 4-0 defeat to Swansea, Huddersfield were done for. Their form is so poor. They're playing so badly. And I think it sums it up, losing 4-0 at home to Swansea, you've got nothing to play for with respect. If you're getting walloped like that at this point in the season, there was barely any fight in that team. I think Andre Breitenreiter even started without a recognised striker on the pitch, which seemed very, very questionable. And Huddersfield now, they're just in a position where I just think it's inevitable that they are going to drop. Ipswich away on the final day, they couldn't have really asked for a harder test. We know how good Ipswich's home record is this season. And obviously, we've touched on Ipswich. We don't know what's going to be at stake for them on the final day, what might already be done or whatever. But it's probably one of the worst fixtures you could have wished for. For Birmingham, they'll be kicking themselves. They didn't get a win at Rotherham last weekend. That would have obviously kept them out of the bottom three. So for Wednesday, really, it was the perfect weekend last week. Everything, realistically, that went their way could have gone their way, did go their way. So I think for Huddersfield, personally, I think they're down even if they get this win this weekend. Their goal difference is slightly better than Sheffield Wednesday's, but only by a couple of goals. So even if they win, they may not be guaranteed to get out of the bottom three, depending what happens at Hillsborough. for Birmingham, you just think if they get a point, if they don't lose this game, depending on what Wednesday do, like you said, Norwich at home on the final day, it's not the worst fixture. There's a good chance Norwich will have wrapped up that playoff place. David Wagner could rotate.
He's got history. He's got history for doing that as well.
He has. Huddersfield against Cardiff all them years ago when Neil
there's
Warnock.
There's a lot of Blackburn fans after the game. I've not forgotten that yet. That was the season they went down.
I'm not surprised. But yeah, it's going to be a really interesting one. And ultimately, it's a game that both teams have got to win. There's no doubt about it. But for Huddersfield, I just think personally, I think it could be too little too late. They've just not been good enough. The managerial appointments have just been nowhere near good enough. On reflection, and we said this at the time, sacking Neil Warnock was just a stupid decision. It's been one of the worst aging decisions we've seen this season. Andre Breitenreiter was clearly a left field choice. It was very unexpected, and he's had very, very little impact. They're so easy to play against. They struggle for goals. And yeah, ultimately, I just can't see them getting what they need. And obviously, they're going to rely favours from elsewhere as well. So, big, big game this one. But I think even if Huddersfield do get a win, I think it could be too little too late. We'll see. But, you know, it's going to be one big game, this one, for both sets of fans. Very, very, very nerve-wracking afternoon ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Plymouth are very much not out of this conversation as well. They're on 48 points. They're away at Millwall and then host Hull City. Blackburn are not out of this either. They're on 49 points, having missed the opportunity for safety last weekend. They have Coventry at home and Leicester away. You've then got Stoke and QPR, who both had great weekends, beating Preston North End and Plymouth respectively, which lifts them onto 50 points. Personally, the way I look at this now, I think with a favourable goal difference, I think 50 points will be enough for safety. So I'm saying that QPR and Stoke are safe in my mind. I think it is going to be 5-2, with Huddersfield most likely to go from that as well. So I agree with you. I think Huddersfield are most likely to get relegated. I feel like they haven't been good enough across the course of the season. I had a lengthy chat with Brady Frost on Heat, and he takes this chance previewing the game this week. And for me, I think Birmingham are most likely to win that match. I think Blackburn are still going to need another point, and I think they face a Coventry team that are probably worse for wears. It's probably the best time to play Coventry when you consider all the physical and emotional output they've had to play this week with Manchester United and then losing to Hull on Wednesday night. You've got Stoke, Birmingham, QPR, Blackburn and Birmingham, say, all on minus 16 as well at the moment. So for me, you're looking at Huddersfield. I think I agree with you. I think they will go. And then I think Blackburn, Plymouth, Wednesday and Birmingham are fighting for that final spot. And my gut feeling is still that Blackburn will stay up and that Sheffield Wednesday will stay up. And it will be one of Birmingham or Plymouth that goes down.
Can I be brutally honest? And I've done a lot of scrutinising of the fixtures this week and looking at patterns of form and things like that. Yep. But when I look at those last two remaining games, I honestly think it's Plymouth I fear for the most. Whereas a few weeks ago, you looked at their penultimate game of the season, which is Millwall away this coming Saturday, and you kind of thought, ooh, that could be a big one for both. Millwall are obviously safe now. They're in good run of form. They've got a bit of confidence about them. The Den's been turned into a bit of a hard place to go again.
They're putting quite a meek performance at Stoke as well, not just in terms of the result, but the performance itself.
They were well beaten. Yeah. They were well beaten, weren't they? First half, they were very, very flat, very uninspiring. And Millwall away is not an easy one. And Hull on the final day is not an easy one. When you consider Hull, who knows what they could be playing for by a week on Saturday? We don't know yet. It could be their season done. We shall see. But generally speaking, Hull's away record's been quite good this season, a lot better than their home form. That's not an easy one. So for Plymouth, realistically, I wouldn't be surprised, say, if they lost their last two games. They may still get away with that by hook or by crook. But I honestly think Plymouth, they need... I think, to be absolutely sure, I think they need one win from the last two games, just to make sure.
I think 2 points, if they drew them both, I think they'd be right, because of the goal
difference. If they drew them both, possibly they'd be okay with 50 points.
Goal difference, I think.
I just think it's a last couple of fixtures that are quite challenging.
I agree.
It really is quite challenging. Obviously, Birmingham, they've got to play a playoff contender at home. Sheffield Wednesday, the same. Blackburn have got to go to Leicester. QPR, even though I think QPR will be okay, I've got to play Leeds now on the final day QPR. I'm trying to remember where they go. I can't think off the top of my head where QPR are heading on the final day of the season. I think, is it West Bromwich Albion away QPR on the final day? Not sure off the top of my head. I'm just loading the fixtures up now. No, it's not. I got that wrong. It's Coventry away. So, you know, you look at that, and it's not the easiest for QPR either, but I do think 50 points, like you've said, will probably be enough to get them over the line. So I think if I had to sort of pick a team of those that are just above the dotted line at the minute that I think I'm most fearful for, I probably would have to go with Plymouth. But at the same time, I don't think you can sort of say Sheffield Wednesday are absolutely fine, because West Brom's a really difficult game. Me and you both know, as Wednesday fans, you just do never know what Wednesday's going to turn up. So we shall see. The picture will become a lot clearer, I think, following this Saturday coming, as we sort of, everybody settled on 45 games, one round to go. But the outcome of that Birmingham Huddersfield game could dictate a hell of a lot in this battle. So we shall see. Buckle in if you haven't already. In a way, I can't wait for it to come to an end, but in a way, I don't want it to end. It's sort of weird.
We get the playoffs after this, George. It's fine.
Yeah, we ain't got to stress about them this year as well. That's even better. We can actually sit back, relax and watch them this year. But no, we've got, what, 9 days left of the season to go. Not got a clue what's going to happen. Hope, pray, cross your fingers for whoever you support, and what will be, will be. I think that's all we can wish for.
In terms of the battle for those playoff places and finishing in the top six, Coventry's season was effectively ended this week with a 3-2 defeat to Hull City on Wednesday night. I just think we need to take a moment. A monumental effort against Manchester United on Sunday, flying the championship flag and doing everyone very proud. I think we were all Coventry fans for the afternoon, and especially once they got it back to 3-3. That extra time was a brilliant game. Both teams hitting both the underside of the bar. Coventry, of course, a toenail. Mark Robin said if Hadji Wright had cut his toenails before the game, he'd have been onside. And they've had I think they've had a brilliant season when you consider all things, when you consider selling Gustavo Hama and Victor Gyökeres, the way they've reinvested that money in two players in the form of Hadji Wright and Ellis Sims, who have been a little slow burner. Coventry in general have been slow burners. They obviously had a poor start to the season. They had to reintegrate new players and work out how they wanted to play. Started with a back three, then went to the back four and looked a lot more solid. Again, at the weekend, I actually think they probably played Manchester United too much respect playing a back five, and then once they went to the four, looked really good. But it's been a change, Coventry, this season. And although they've fallen short on the top six, I think they'll be stronger again next season, and I think they'll go again, and I think they'll be right up there fighting for the top six because they've got a brilliant manager. I think they've got a really good squad, and I don't think there'll be as much churn or turmoil in the squad this summer. I think they'll keep Ellis Sims and they'll keep Hadji Wright, considering what they paid for them. I doubt anyone's going to come in and pay more than that that would make Coventry consider selling. I thought they added quite well in January by bringing Victor Taupin, who looks like someone who I really think might have a really good season next year, having adapted in the last 6 months to Championship football. O'Hare, what's going to happen with him? I'd still back them to replace him, and they should still have some money to invest. So for me, although there'll be some disappointment that obviously they got within a penalty shootout of the Premier League last year and then haven't made the playoffs this year, I still think they've had a really good year when you consider all the context around it. An FA Cup run that's going to live long in the memory. And I think if you'd offered Coventry City fans the season they've had when they confirmed the sale of Harmer and Gyökeres, I think they'd have bit your hand off, to be honest. And again, it's another season past where they've managed to keep Mark Robbins, and there hasn't been that much speculation around his future, which still surprises me that no one's taken a real punt on him, because he's done, in the last decade in the EFL, he's probably done the best job with, you'd have to say, Nathan Jones as part in Luton Town as well, but I think Robbins has probably done the best job in the EFL in the last decade. So yes, they'll be a bit disappointed that they've lost three on the bounce and sort of fizzled out a little bit. But I said, once they got through to the FA Cup semi-final, you always felt it might derail the league campaign. But is it worth it? I think it's worth it for the memories they've had this season. And I don't think they're going to have the same level of turnover in the summer squad-wise. I think they'll be able to build on some key areas, maybe bring a centre-back in. Another wide forward is going to come in Ephraim Mason-Clark that they bought in January. Replacing Callum O'Hare might be a key target for them. They've obviously got Casey Palmer as well. So I think the future is bright for Coventry, even despite the fact that they are going to miss out on the playoffs this year.
Oh, without any shadow of a doubt, they've got a hell of a future ahead of them. When you consider the length of the journey that they've had back to get to this point over the years, and I mean, it was probably a time before me and you were growing up. Coventry were always one of the big clubs in the country. They were a Premier League side, and they've always had a fantastic fan base. And we saw at Wembley on Sunday that the potential is there with that football club to make tremendous strides on and off the field. And after years with being at loggerheads with the previous owners, they've now got a man in Doug King, the local businessman, who's doing brilliant things for the football club. And like you said, quite rightly, that FA Cup run, that's going to create remarkable memories. And I actually saw a few people saying on social media the other day that they'll never forget the feeling of when that Victor Torp goal, that obviously turned out not to be a goal, but when it went in at Wembley, they've said that they were, if they could have bottled that feeling, and that'll be something they remember forever. But I think the league form, the league campaign, should I say, it's going to be a little bit underwhelming when you've not made the playoffs after coming so, so close last year. But you make a very valid point in the fact that they did have to do quite a bit of surgery in the summer. They obviously lost their two best players who were going to take some replacing. And Hadji Wright and Ellis Sims, though it's taken time, they've certainly, as we approach the end of the season, they've had a fantastic finish to the year, Ellis Sims in particular. And there is prospect for them to kick on next year. I think the big thing that you've said there is that Callum O'Hare's contract situation is an interesting one. If they do lose him, there is, of course, going to be a big, big gap in that team to fill, that creative number 10 who's going to pull the strings. But Coventry, as we've seen in recent years, they've got a bit of financial clout behind them now. There's a possibility they're going to gain some funds from a possible sell-on clause for Victor Gyökeres. There's a hell of a lot of speculation linking him with a return to English football already. A lot of Premier League clubs reportedly sniffing. And by the way, if you've not been keeping track on Victor Gyökeres this season, I don't mean for you, I mean for anybody listening to this, 38 goals in 45 appearances for Sporting Lisbon with 16 assists. Why did no Premier League clubs take a punt on him this time last year? I just do not understand why not enough Premier League clubs went for him. It was so obvious that he was the complete striker, and now he's being talked about in the region of £100 million, which just shows how good he was and how good he's become this year. So there's certainly scope for Coventry via that method to potentially secure more funding to spend on players. But like you said, Mark Robbins, he's got the base of everything there. Fantastic manager, fantastic club. The core squad is there. Obviously, Milan Van Aiwijk at right back came in last summer, has done a really good job. Sims, Ben Sheaf, if they can keep him, that's a big part of the midfield built. So the spine, realistically, is there for the most part. So there's certainly potential. The FA Cup run, that was fantastic. So, so close to getting to the final. And yeah, I think, yeah, they'll be disappointed that they've not made the playoffs. I mean, we're saying not made the playoffs. They can still get in there, but it's going to take an absolute miracle where they win all of their three remaining games and everybody else drops points around them. It's a big ask. It's very unlikely. But like you said, they've had some wonderful memories this season. They're never going to forget that FA Cup quarterfinal win at Molineux against Wolves. The league form's been a bit patchy in recent weeks, but the nucleus is there to attack it again next season. And who knows, with a bit more quality and Mark Robbins still leading it, Could they mount a top two charge next year? Could they go one better? Time will tell. Big ask, but the future's bright for that club. There's a hell of a lot of potential to play with there.
Of course, it was a big win for Hull City, who have kept their top six hopes alive with that win. They're just 3 points behind West Brom and Norwich, so it's certainly not done yet in the battle for the playoffs. Three teams going for that, although, of course, Norwich and West Brom are in the driving seat. They were given a bit of a helping hand on Wednesday night by a few terrible concessions. I think Brad Collins in particular had a day to forget, albeit Bobby Thomas didn't help him out with what turned out to be the winning goal either. You look at the playoff picture, Norwich host Swansea this weekend, then they've got Birmingham away, as we've touched on, West Brom away at Sheffield Wednesday, which is not an easy fixture, and then at home to Preston North End, which is more favourable. They both need 4 points to guarantee the top six. If they win at the weekend at 3 p.m, Hull are going to have to beat Ipswich at 8 p.m. When you look at the fixtures and you do consider the general form of both teams, I do think it will be as it is. I do think West Brom and Norwich will get in that top six, but Hull are at least applying some pressure where they could take it to the final day if they do pull off a great result against Ipswich.
Yeah, he's made it interesting, I think, at the very least, hasn't it? It's added a little bit of spice to it, but I am in the same opinion of you, to be honest. I do think West Brom and Norwich will get over the line. Norwich are at home this weekend to Swansea City. Norwich have been very, very good at home since the turn of the year. Obviously, they only got a point last time out against Bristol City, who, to be fair, have been good for themselves. So it wasn't the worst result in the world. But Swansea at home, again, not going to be easy. Swansea are on a good run. But you'd expect Norwich certainly to avoid defeat in that game. West Brom, as you say, at Sheffield Wednesday. It's going to be a full house at Hillsborough. Wednesday know what they've got to do. They've got just as much to play for as West Brom in their own right. So both teams will be looking to get 3 points. Hull, big ask against Ipswich. As I've said quite a few times in recent weeks, their home form is what's let them down really this season. It's been really, really patchy and really underwhelming. The goal difference is worse off than the other two. If maybe Hull were 1 or 2 points better off, I would be giving them a much stronger chance, possibly even if they weren't playing Ipswich as well. They've got a chance, there's no doubt about it. Big, big win at Coventry on Wednesday night. But I just get the feeling that West Brom and Norwich will have enough to cling on. And it just depends on what order those two take, fifth and sixth. Because Norwich, potentially, will they want to avoid having to play Ipswich? Possibly in a semi-final, would they prefer maybe to take them on at Wembley? It's all ifs and buts and maybes, but I think West Brom and Norwich, whatever order they get in there, they'll be happy to be in there. West Brom deserve to finish in the top six. They've been there all season. Norwich, for their form since November, they've given it a hell of a good crack. And Hull, to be honest, would they be as worthy of a top six spot as the other two? Not in my opinion.
No, I would agree.
They're still in the conversation. You've got to credit them for that. And I just think while we're on the subject of Hull City, I think it's worthy mentioning the impact that Fabio Carvalho has had on that team, to be fair to him. His stats are really impressive. After that goal and an assist at Coventry on Wednesday night, 9 goals and 1 assist in 18 appearances since his arrival in January. One of the signings of the January window, without a doubt, he's had a really big impact. And for Hull now, I think that the big thing for Hull is if they don't get in the playoffs and don't go up, are they going to be able to attract a similar caliber of player again next season? Because you can't imagine that Fabio Carvalho would possibly be coming back. So big opportunity for Hull. It's still there. But for me, got to win both games and hope for a couple of favours.
No, I completely agree with you. I think it's Norwich and West Brom's to lose. Of course it is. And I think they will get over the line ultimately. And that marks the end of this week's Championship Chat podcast. Thank you for listening. Make sure you are subscribed to this feed, wherever you get your pods from, to make sure you never miss an episode. And follow us on Twitter at ChampChatPod24. One more match day to go when we next record, George. We'll be previewing the Championship finale. And boy, are we excited. And of course, there'll be lots of playoff content to come from us throughout May, as well as things like Team of the Season and other bits to keep you ticking along nicely over the summer. So a huge thank you again to our sponsors, Cards Accepted, for their support this season. If you're looking to take car payments with no contract or monthly fees, go and check them out at cardsaccepted.co.uk. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you again next week for another episode of the Championship Chat podcast.
This is the Championship Chat podcast, your home of news, views, and debate from England's second tier.